could say Ravi Coltrane was destined to be a musician. It's in his blood. He's the son of jazz legend John Coltrane, and like his dad, he plays the saxophone. Ravi's sound is all his own. He's an extremely talented musician, band leader, and composer in his own right. His latest effort is entitled Influx. That's the new CD, and we have Ravi Coltrane right here in our New York studios. Good to see you, man.
Great to see you too, Ed. Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about the project in and of itself. One of the most interesting things that I've read, and this is not your first CD, but critics have all said, almost in unison, that you come into your own in this one. Do you like that language or no? Seems like you're always in your own, but I'm curious how you look at it.
Well, I'm always curious about language anyway, especially when one writer says one thing and everyone else says the exact same thing. They're either referencing each other's reviews before they check out a piece of music and just try to form a consensus. And for me, I feel like it's you're on this road and you try to create this arc in your work, and you start from one place and you're moving towards something.
Based on some things I read, let me try this question. I hope you'll take it in the tone I give it. This is an easy one. It seems to me that particularly jazz purists won't oftentimes allow jazz to move forward, to evolve, to change.
Ding, 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 ding. The man is correct. In all seriousness, yeah, you know, it's one of the things, man. It's hard for some to define what jazz is supposed to be about. Is jazz something that only exists in the past, or is jazz something that is supposed to be always evolving and moving forward? You know, a jazz purist, honestly, should be someone who believes that the music moves forward, because all the people that we revere the most, that's what they did. For me, it's built into jazz, the moving forward part, not the looking back part.
All right, now I've gone at least four or five questions into before I even brought up your dad.
I did that on purpose.
I'm curious, how tiresome and cumbersome does it become when every time you've got to deal with these questions?
I see John Coltrane in many different ways. You know, it's very personal and very private, this father that I never knew. And then, of course, there's this man that we all revere as musicians and as a kind of a guiding force for creative people. You know, you just deal with it. You deal with it. You know?
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How much of the fact that you really didn't know your dad allows you to distance the idea of the father and the legend?
The son trying to emulate the father figure. You know, I think that's a big part of it. I think that if I had grown up with him and watched him and tried to emulate him like sons will do with their fathers, you know, I think that an internal pressure would have sort of started then. You know, this feeling like, well, I don't know about jazz, I don't know about the sax, but I should probably do it, and I can see my father wants me to do it. My mom wants me to, you know. I never had that growing up. And it's not so much because he wasn't around, but it was really because the atmosphere that my mother created for us was the opposite of that. It was very open and very encouraging to anything positive that we wanted, that we wanted to be involved in.
You mentioned your mom. Mm-hmm. She is
Alice Coltrane.
a fantastic musician in her own right.
Most definitely. Yeah.
You have a track on the CD entitled Dear Alice. Mm-hmm. So many of the critics talk about that. A salute to your mom.
I actually wrote that song around 1986. It's like one of the first tunes I ever wrote. And it was like around the time of her birthday, and I had nothing in my pocket whatsoever in terms of funds to get her a present. So I wrote that song for her.
Could you envision yourself being anything other than a musician?
Sure, of course, of course. You know, I love music, and music is my primary focus and goal, really. But the music is always kind of aided by the fact that we do have, you know, lives beyond music. Mm-hmm. My family and my son, and, you know, a big fan of the visual arts. I wanted to be a filmmaker for a really long time. You know, there's so many of these other elements, you know, that kind of combine, you know, that it's like one art helps the other.
What's your favorite cut on the new CD?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, my other records, it was easy to say because I only liked a couple of I could get through one song and I'd have to turn the record off, you know. But for a change, you know, it's nice that I can actually put the record on and feel content with everything we did.
What do you want to do, ultimately, with your music?
Well, you know, the idea is not to say I want to be a jazz saxophonist so I can be rich and famous and a star and have plenty of girls and limousines. It's not that type of life, really. To say we only play just because we like music, you know, that's a part of it as well. And, you know, and I think it has to be the initial part of it. I think if you can really sort of please yourself, hopefully your music will please others, you know. But I think there's a larger goal, really, and it's really about communication and uplifting people with your music, you know. And if we look at all the great music that touches us, from Stevie Wonder to Marvin Gaye to John Coltrane, there is a message, you know. Sometimes it's kind of lifting you and hopefully inspiring you. So, yeah, that's kind of like the ultimate goal.
For Ravi Coltrane, the latest CD is called In Flux. We thank you so much for spending some time and talking about your life and the new CD.
Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate it. Thank you.